Well, happy brother's birthday today, December 3rd, 1954. I got a brother. Well, he came first. I was 56, so he had to wait on me. But yeah, my brother, my doctor brother, my cardiologist. Well, he's not my cardiologist. He can't treat family. But I tell you, I got used to having a doctor in the family with my grandfather, my mom's dad, Dr. Leonard Hoke, who I was named after. He actually was from Nitro, West Virginia. You ever heard of that place? It's right outside of Charleston on the Kanawha River. I don't know, about 20 miles west of Charleston, towards the Ohio River. But, yeah, Dr. Hoke was a coal mine doctor for many years and moved my mom and her other two sisters around to various coal mine operations. And then finally, somewhere around just before the start of World War II, they moved to Nitro, and he became a doctor for a big plant there where they, I'm not sure exactly what they were making at the time, but and also just a general practitioner for the community. My grandfather actually had some famous deliveries of babies. I think he did 1,700 babies is what he delivered. That number sounds low, but I think that's what it was. One of which was Kathy Mattea. Have you ever heard of her? She was a country western singer, pretty popular, about 25 years ago. Still out there. I looked her up not too long ago. And the same people that kept my grandmother after my grandfather passed away took care of Kathy Mattea's mother, and that's how we found out that she said, yeah, Dr. Hoke delivered Kathy. So I thought that was kind of a cool thing. But anyway, we need to talk a little bit about cars today. We will. I've got some doozies for you. You know, when you invite comments from people and phone calls and you know, questions that folks have, you invite some pretty serious stuff occasionally. I got one yesterday that was shocking. A customer bought a vehicle from a new car dealership in the Tri-Cities. And, you know, a lot of the things that I warn you folks about to watch out for, this person was not listening to my radio show before they bought this car because they never would have fallen for this. And we'll get into that in just a minute. You know, we're going to talk also about just a few fundamentals of car buying. I don't know that it just applies to car buying, though. You know, I think any kind of a big ticket item applies. You know, cars are just different. They're so much an important part of our life. Our car life, as I like to call it, is a unique aspect of our life. You know, before we had car life, I guess we had horse life, right? Because that was the mode of transportation. That's how we got from one place to another. And so we have basically four major areas that we need to talk about. I just wish there was some way to expand this. You know, I put a lot of this information out on Facebook, and I put it out in, I try to do it in my advertising sometimes for the dealership, but I don't want to come off like holier than thou, you know, when it comes to my advertising. You know, this radio show is different because this is an opinion, an educated opinion for folks to avoid the traps and pitfalls that happen when they're trying to buy or service, sell a car, whatever. And it's not an advertisement per se, although I do run ads for my dealership during the thing. You know, it's kind of hard to get on a television commercial or something and say, you know, there's some crooks out there. It's just not always well received, so. Anyway, I reserve that for this radio show. At least I'm not talking politics, right? You know, don't we get enough of that? I'm just so sick of all the stuff that you hear. That's why I like to turn it off. I'm trying to stay away from it right now. But I'm going to talk about a severe case of customer abuse here. And it's recent. You know, this happened on October, or I'm not going to say the day, but it happened in October of 2021 to a customer from our community that went someplace to buy a car, and they weren't paying attention, folks. They just were not cognizant. I guarantee these people bought based on a monthly payment, and they didn't think about what they were paying for the car or all the extras that they were paying for. But, you know, when it comes to buying a car, there's basically four decisions or four areas that you really need to pay attention to, whether it's a new car or a used car, is where you're going to do it. You know, what's the source? And the source is often determined by the type of car that you're interested in, right? I mean, if you want a Hyundai, then, you know, you pretty much, you don't go to the Chevy dealer unless you want a used Hyundai that they may have in stock. You're going to go to the Hyundai dealer. If you want a Kia, you're going to go to the Kia dealer. Why would you? Anyway, if you want a Chevrolet, you're going to go to a Chevy dealer. I think you got that pattern. So the car, the source of that car, the budget, which is such an important consideration, that's where folks get messed up, where they're just thinking about monthly payment. And I wish, like I say, that I could get the word out more and educate folks. I think probably what I need to do is go to the high schools and speak to all the high schools and say, you know, these are the fundamentals of buying something. You know, if you speak to outgoing seniors, you might get a good reception there if you make it entertaining enough. You know, they don't really understand business. I mean, unless there may be some out there that have been working, you know, since they were young and have had the responsibility of managing money, you know, understanding, you know, what fundamentals do you teach young people when it comes to managing money now? I mean, all they know pretty much is their cell phone, and they see us go to ATM machines. They don't know what a checkbook is for the most part. There are some that do, but, you know, a check, I mean, how often do you get behind somebody at the grocery store that's writing a check? It's usually a 70-year-old that's doing that, or older. Now, I'm not meaning to discriminate, but that's true, isn't it? I mean, and you don't see people paying cash. They're sliding that card in there, and that's how they're paying. And the kids don't see the money changing hands. They just see plastic. I think it has an impact. But they have to understand the fundamentals behind that. How many of you actually reconcile your bank account still when you're using electronic banking? Very few people do. I think the number is less than 15% reconcile their bank account every month, because for some reason or another, they trust what's going in and coming out, and there's no reason to reconcile. But there is a reason. You can get ripped off. I certainly did. My mom got ripped off in a major way by a dishonest caregiver. I talked about that probably a year or so ago. We had taken over her bills after she had a stroke, and I failed her. I did not reconcile her bank account. We were just paying bills, and, you know, here I'm working at the dealership and all this other stuff, and I let her down. I did not reconcile. If I had reconciled the bank account, I would have seen the money that was coming out to pay a credit card that we did not know about. And so, you know, we prosecuted the lady, and they put her in jail for, like, until she got bailed out. And now, since it was a first offense, you know, she's out free. Now, she's supposed to pay us back, but it'll take a lifetime to pay that much money back out of the kind of jobs that she's going to be able to have. So reconciling a bank account, that's important. Understanding credit, financing, understanding responsibility, the importance of paying bills and paying them on time. So all of that's important. So understanding your budget, the car, the source, where you're going to get the car, and then the deal. And we'll talk about that. You know, here's a person that went up to a dealership in the Tri-Cities, bought a car, and again, out of what you can call it, you know, it's just not knowing. I hate to say the word, but it's ignorance, right? And not knowing what to pay attention to and what not to pay attention to. Understanding there are three basic fundamental things you have to pay attention to, and that's the sale price, the trade value, and the trading difference. What are you paying in trading difference? People get all confused about, you know, with their payoff that they have on their car. Yes, that's an important number, but not until you understand what you're paying for the car that you're buying. The payoff will affect your monthly payment, but too many dealers throw in the payoff discussion early to just confuse people. I'm going to say the vast majority of dealerships and salespeople are honest and they do it right. But there are some banditos out there. And, you know, we just have to watch out for them. So I'm gonna get into that detail, and we'll talk about that deal, that particular deal, where they went wrong. And we'll also talk about some of the other key issues when it comes to budget, car, source, and deal. And we'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, we're back. You know, when somebody does something to you in a fraudulent way, and you know about it, you find out about it, you know, after the fact, that can create a lot of anxiety and anger, justifiable anger. You know, lots of times people go off half-cocked, though, and they don't consult the right people first before they go in and deal with that kind of situation. Time is your enemy, though, when it comes to dealing with a ripoff. You've got to jump on it, and the sooner it is, the better. So when a dealer sells a car and they are financing that car, yes, we print all the paperwork in our finance office. You know, a lot of customers think that we're financing the car for them, and we're not. We are submitting their credit application and the structure of the deal itself, the selling price, the trade value, you know, down payment, whatever fees and stuff are being charged, and the customer's payoff. We're submitting all that to the bank. The bank approves it. Sometimes they just do it on a computer. A computer actually makes the call. Because it's just a bunch of numbers, right? And they're looking at credit reports and credit scores as well. And then, but sometimes a human being is actually looking at that. They make a decision to finance the car. So the dealership prints all the paperwork, including the contract. They collect the down payment from the customer. They collect sales tax and all of that. And then they submit that contract. Actually, send either electronically or the actual contract goes in a FedEx envelope and is sent to the bank. The bank reviews the contract, makes sure that it's legal, makes sure that it's what they approved. Then they send the dealership a check, or they fund, you know, they electronically transfer money into the dealer's bank account. That's how the dealership gets paid, you know. And then the dealership, sometime in that period of time, if he has the car floor planned, like financed, in other words, like all of this inventory out here, maybe financed with Ford Motor Credit, or if you're a Toyota, Toyota Motor Credit. So the dealership has the funds necessary to pay the car off. They get to keep the difference. That's the profit that the dealership makes. So that's the way the transaction happens. If you get ripped off, you realize that, wait a minute, these numbers don't look right. I don't know. I didn't remember paying $4,000 for a service contract, or I didn't remember paying $3,400 for something else. I'll tell you about that here in a second. But, you know, you look at that, now's the time to do it. Because what happens when the dealership packages all that together and sends it to the bank, and the contract gets funded by the bank, and your title and your vehicle, your new purchase, has been titled at the courthouse, it's a whole lot more complicated to unwind. And, you know, it needs to be unwound. And the best way to do it is the next day. Now, you walk into a dealership and you start complaining about that kind of stuff, the day after or 2 days after, you're going to get a whole lot. Your chances of having a successful conclusion go up dramatically, okay? If you wait a week or a month, then they're going to push back harder. Now, some dealerships will say, okay, let's work this out. We want you to be happy. Let's just figure out, you know, what went wrong, what's it going to take to make you happy. Other dealers will say, you bought the car, you signed the paperwork, we're sorry. And you're going to go home, and then you're going to blister them on a Google rating. If you do that kind of stuff, you're going to talk about them on Facebook, and you're going to be all frustrated for a while, and rightfully so. But if you go in and deal with it quickly, and I'm just, again, I always caution people, don't be brutally angry, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, keep your cool, be businesslike, asked to speak to the general manager. It's not going to do any good to go speak to the salesperson you bought the car from. You don't need to do that. You need to go to a higher authority. You need to speak to a sales manager. If they are reluctant to let you speak to a manager or to the dealer, it's a bad sign. Bad sign. That means that, you know, somebody's running interference and they want to hold that deal together. You know, most salespeople are paid either on based on the volume of cars that they sell or the gross profit that they make on the cars that they sell. So when a salesperson has to cut the profit or to, reverse a deal, actually unwind a deal, then you're taking money out of their pocket, and they don't like that. But they have to look at the big picture, you know. And I tell you, they're not going to. It's the management are the ones that are going to be looking at the big picture. So let's talk about this one, this really egregious purchase that took place at a new car dealership in the Tri-Cities. Again, it happened in October, and my car guru listener brought this in for us to take a look at. Number one, I'm not exactly sure what the vehicle listed for that they bought, but it's an economy car, and it's a 2-year-old economy car that they paid too much for on the front end. Okay, no trade involved. But then you get down to what they bought in the finance office, and there's this product called Etch, E-T-C-H, and that's where basically there's a, it's some type of a material that will etch the VIN number into the glass. And it's, if your car gets stolen, it's easier to track the car, and it also has some insurance built into it that if your car does get stolen, then this company will give you a certain amount of money cash down, like $5,000, towards a purchase of another car. Most dealers sell that that product for anywhere from $300 to $600. At this particular dealership, they charge the customer $3,398 for that product. That's egregious, okay? Dock fees, you know, all dealers have dock fees. This particular dealer has just a little under $700. Then you get to the service agreement, service contract. Now, for this particular car, you should be able to buy a service contract, which is and people call them extended warranties. You know, they're not warranties, but that's kind of how they operate. But it's actually called a service contract. So if the engine blows up, it'll be paid for subject to a deductible. You know, sometimes they call them bumper-to-bumper warranties and stuff. But anyway, for that car, I don't know what the term was. It doesn't say on this. But even if it's a 6-year, 100,000 miles, it would cost probably $1,500 to $1,800 for that warranty on this car, maybe less. They charged them $4,198. So egregious again. I mean, that's just crazy. And I guarantee you that the customer did not read this. They did not read it. But guess what? They signed it. And, you know, I just don't understand somebody doing that, but you don't either. And it's because they're excited, right? They're excited about buying a new car. And so they fall victim to this abuse. You know, maybe they were great with the deal. I'll tell you what happened in this particular deal. More than likely, they closed on the monthly payment. In other words, they came to the dealership. A salesperson said, "What kind of monthly payment you looking for?" And they said, "Well, if I can get it under $400, I'll be happy. Or $450, I'll be happy." And the salesperson salivating at that point, because it doesn't matter what the car cost, doesn't matter what else. That he just has to get it to $450. And if you stretch out $450 to 84 months, that's a lot of money. Just do the math. And but most people, they learned math in school. They just don't do it. When they do a financial purchase, you know, a car purchase is probably the second biggest purchase that the average person will make in their lifetime. Yet they are frivolous with the way they handle it. And a lot of it's just, again, it's just education. It's having, teaching kids the right things in high school when they're getting ready to go out, or college kids the right thing before they go out. And many times, "Well, my daddy taught me how to buy a car." Well, your daddy may not be good at buying cars. You need to talk to somebody who knows how, you know, the pitfalls and what needs to be done. If you've got a high school, if you're a listener and you've got you know about a school or something where your grandchild or your child goes, or you think that they would be receptive to having a geezer like me come and talk about credit responsibility and cars and stuff like that, I'm a pretty good speaker. I mean, I can capture their attention, and I can make it fun, and I'd be happy to do that. We just have to schedule it, you know, like a couple weeks in advance. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's in the Tri-Cities. I don't want to drive to Roanoke, you know, to do it, but I'd be perfectly willing to go to a local school. But specifically to people that are getting ready to graduate from high school and people that are getting ready to graduate from college or a trade school, but before they have access to a bunch of money and go out and start making crazy decisions, I think I can help. We'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. Still looking at this bad deal that somebody got on this car. You know, one of the worst things is they had a pretty sizable down payment. They had paid $15,000 down on a car that's probably worth about $15,000, and they still owe $15,738 on the car. That's damaging to somebody. If, you know, if they make their payments on time and everything, they'll be able to go out and buy another car and probably pay too much for it as well. But this is the stuff you have to watch out for, and hopefully this is helpful. If you have a scenario that you're concerned about, maybe I can help with as far as financial response. You know, I'm not going to give you stock tips, but I will certainly help you when it comes to buying and selling and trading and servicing cars and trucks and SUVs and buying antique cars and selling antique cars. If I can help you with that, again, my cell phone number is 423-552-2020. I own Gateway Ford and Gateway Nissan, and if you call the dealership, they'll put a message on my desk, and it might be covered up with some papers. The best way to get me is my cell phone, and you can text me or call, and if I don't answer the phone, just leave a message like the other hundreds of people have over the last few months from listening to this radio show. 423-552-2020. Folks, I appreciate you listening, and I will talk to you. I hope you have a great weekend, by the way. And I will talk to you on Monday.